Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Cavs waiting on Sunday. Now they now have the Indiana Pacers to look forward to as we'll get ready for round two of the Eastern Conference playoffs. And to talk about it, we welcome in Brian Geltzeiler, SiriusXM NBA Radio, also NBA TV. He joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
We're doing well. Are we allowed to overlook the Indiana Pacers, or are they a team that can sneak up on the Cleveland Cavaliers and get them?
No, they can sneak up and get them. You cannot overlook the Indiana Pacers. They're deep. They're versatile. They have enough size. And again, they go to the bench and they got a really good bench. But you saw what Halliburton can do in a big spot, and they look great in that Milwaukee series. I don't know if Milwaukee's the biggest challenge, but I think you can't sleep on the Indiana Pacers. There's a lot of players there. The thing about the Pacers, and you know, they play fast. They like to put up a bunch of threes, but here's the thing about the Indiana Pacers. Last half of the season, they were eighth in the NBA in defensive efficiency. They're a really, really good defensive basketball team, a better defensive basketball team than the one that went to the conference finals last year. So, no, there's no sleeping on this Indiana Pacer group at all. As great a year as the Cavs have had, the Pacers went further than they did last year. So, for the Cavs here, it's all business right now. This is a tough, tough team that they're up against.
Maybe part of it is, Brian, that, yeah, you could take certain parts of the season. As we know, Halliburton was awful at the start of the year. And as he goes, the entire team goes. So it's hard to try to figure out. Like, if you took the Cavs and their shooting numbers the last 2 months of the year, they're dreadful. And their offense actually was, like, below middle of the pack in those times. So that's why, as a Cavs fan, it's hard, especially the games that we played against Indiana this year. You know, it wasn't the finished Cavaliers product with DeAndre Hunter, and they had injuries in some of those games too. So that's why it's tough to take a snapshot for these two teams to try to compare.
Listen, I think as a general concept, you have to be very careful extrapolating what happens in the regular season over to the playoffs. And there's several reasons for that. But the first two most important ones are, number one, how coaches coach. Because number one, a lot of coaches are going deeper into their bench in the regular season. They're going to play their starters more. Also, coaches aren't showing you all of their best looks in the regular season. They save some stuff for the playoffs. So you're definitely seeing different matchups attacked in different ways, different defensive looks and defensive coverages that you don't normally get in the regular season. Here's the other thing, and this year it's been a big contrast. The physicality of playoff basketball is back in a big way in the NBA. They are letting a lot go. They're letting guys play. They're letting players decide games. And that's different than the regular season. The regular season is a lot about letting offense happen and blowing a lot of whistles. You are not seeing a lot of whistles being blown here in the playoffs. It's quite obviously a league-wide mandate. I'm all for it. I think it's terrific. But it also makes it much tougher to look at a regular season matchup where guys are able to operate in space, get fouls when they go to the basket, and what you have now, which has some prison ball aspects to it, where big teams are just banging the heck out of each other, being really physical. Referees are keeping their whistles in their mouths and not blowing them. So, you know, I think all those things kind of lend itself to, when you look at the regular season, there's only so much to take from it that's going to be applicable to what's going to happen here in a playoff series.
Do you like that there's that style of contrast in what they'll call and what they won't call between the regular season and the postseason?
I don't mind it. I think it's okay for the product to look a little bit different. I really do. I think that, listen, 82 regular season games are a long time. And you're going to get guys beaten on each other and pounded on each other in the way they are in the playoffs right now. You're not going to have a lot of guys playing in the playoffs. You're going to have a lot more injuries. And the game itself is not going to be as aesthetically pleasing. But come playoff time, when you have the best teams in the league going up against each other, I think you have to do it this way. Listen, here's the thing about the NBA. The history of the league will tell you that the league's been at its best when playoffs are played this way. There was a huge criticism earlier this year about the homogeneous effect of NBA basketball. All teams look the same and play the same. Are we seeing that complaint right now? Are we seeing any of that right now? Every team looks a little bit different. But the one thing that is a common element here, if you're not big and physical enough, you're struggling in these playoffs. And personally, me, I'm okay with it. I think this is how it should be. I think this has been as good a first round as we've had in a while.
All right, how do you break down the Pacers and what they are trying to do? Because if you look statistically, Halliburton was dreadful shooting the basketball in the playoffs, and he runs hot and cold when in terms of aggression. But when the game was at its biggest moment, he was attacking Giannis and getting past him with relative ease, and also made some key defensive plays in that final game. So what do you make of his game, and how worried should the Cavs fans be about defending him?
It's a great question, because the Halliburton matchup to me is the single most difficult matchup for the Cavaliers in this series. Because I actually think that, Siakam, who's a factor more times than not, and certainly wasn't in that last Milwaukee game, but I think Evan Mobley is going to handle him just fine. So I don't have my concerns there. Halliburton is the single most difficult matchup, and I think they're going to try to match up on Halliburton with some size. I think you'll see Hunter spend some time on him. I think you'll see Struce spend some time on him. And that matchup is going to be difficult. But the thing about Halliburton, what will happen is, for a guy that carries himself with such, confidence is the kind word, arrogance is probably the unkind word, but he carries himself in that way, he'll lose confidence in his game at times if shots aren't necessarily falling. So I think there is an aspect here in how you defend him. First of all, defend him with size, be really, really physical with him, and see if you can get him off his game a little bit. The other thing that I think is going to be different, and even like with him going by Giannis, like one of the things you see in playoff series is, and you're seeing this in the Knicks-Detroit series right now, with the Knicks exclusively guarding Cade Cunningham with OG Anunoby. What happens is a great player will be able to, over the course of a long series, get comfortable with one guy guarding him and be able to figure out where those guys' strengths and weaknesses are. It's one of the advantages of a playoff series. You're playing the same team over and over and over again. I think a big key for the Cavaliers here in Halliburton is going to be to show him different looks, to continuing to roll guys at him in different ways. It's hard for the Cavs because you may give Mitchell him a little bit, but I don't want to put Mitchell on him a ton, and you can't put Garland on him. And so I think that's where things get tough also. The Cavs have two viable defenders to guard him, in my estimation. You could maybe say Okoro's a third one, but I don't know how many minutes Okoro's going to get here. But you have two viable guys to guard him, and Hunter and Struce, and maybe Mix Mitchell in as a third. I'd rather they have three really viable guys, because that's what Halliburton can do, but it's going to be two. And we'll see kind of where that goes, but I think that's the key matchup here. And with all that said, I do think personnel-wise, the Cavs are equipped to handle him.
Brian Geltzeiler joining us, NBA TV, SiriusXM NBA Radio. Did you get a chance to see much of Ty Jerome in the last two games of the Heat series against the Cavs?
I did. I mean, listen, Ty Jerome is one of these guys that, like, when he heats it up and gets it going, he's tough. He's really, really tough to stop. First of all, the thing about a guy like Ty Jerome, like, you hear the term all the time, a floor spacer. But what he does in spacing the floor and creating the ability for Mitchell to break a guy down off the dribble and Garland to break a guy down off the dribble, it is absolutely vital for this basketball team. So when you get Jerome going, he actually takes this offense to an entirely different level. One of the great stories in the NBA this year. And listen, he can really, really handle himself. Here defensively, you wonder where you're going to hide him. I kind of figure you can put him on Nembhard and take your chances there, as strong a player as Nembhard is. Because again, I just think Jerome can match him. Even if Nembhard's scoring on him, Jerome can score on the other end. So we'll obviously see plenty of Ty Jerome minutes. But guys, this is, again, one of the best stories in the NBA. The dude has been absolutely phenomenal. He's shooting lights out right now. And really, if he can keep this going, the Cavs are a tough out.
Yeah, because we've had some silly discussions recently because Darius has not really had anything in terms of a playoff career. He's kind of struggled. He certainly struggled against longer teams. And Jerome is now in the playoffs and showing people what he could do, but he's doing it in limited minutes. And we've got players from the Miami Heat talking trash about Darius Garland. Listen to this clip from Kyle Anderson yesterday in their live.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Locker cleanup day.
If you want my honest answer, and I don't mean to throw shots at anybody or even, you know, entertain what was going on between them, but I think they looked like a better team without Garland on the floor. Now, I don't know the numbers or anything, but I think it played more into their favor once Garland wasn't on the floor for them. They were able to dictate the tempo and, you know, get more stops on defense, and it was hard for us to score, and, you know, they had more guys out there on defense. So I think once we came across that, it got kind of tough for us.
So that kind of punctuates a little bit of a conversation. It's a fringe conversation in Cleveland over Garland versus Jerome. What do you make of that?
I think that Kyle Anderson should worry about the 37-win team that just got swept out of the playoffs that he was on, okay, with a record point differential in terms of a margin of victory. That's what, like, you watch the Cavs all season. They're a better team with Darius Garland on the floor. And Ty Jerome's a very, very good player. It's what's the special part of the Cavs this year, guys, besides for the jump Mobley made, was the chemistry that developed between Mitchell and Garland on the floor on the offensive end. And yet they made is there something to be said in terms of maybe being a little bit better defensively with Jerome? But it doesn't really matter. Whoever it is, whether it's Garland or Jerome, you're going to try to hide him on Nembhard. And again, if Nembhard's going to be the one that beats you, but you're doing a good job on Haliburton and Siakam, you're going to win the series. Like, that's just kind of silly stuff, because, and this is why it's also silly stuff, because when you get, let's assume the Cavs get through the series just for the moment. This series is not going to be easy, but let's assume they get through this series and you go into a conference final against the Celtics. You're going to need that kind of dynamic shot making in the backcourt from somebody besides Donovan Mitchell. And for as good as Jerome is, Darius Garland's a better player off the dribble offensively, can do so much more. Like, he's just a more dynamic offensive threat. I don't think there's any two ways about it. All due respect to Ty Jerome, who's had a super year. But again, it's more of a catch and shoot thing. And not that he can't play off the dribble. He's a pretty good player off the dribble. Garland's a better player off the dribble. And so I hear that from Kyle Anderson, and it strikes me as like, you know what, dude, if you're not sitting in an ESPN studio table, you're still playing in a league. It's kind of a silly piece of analysis to look at what you guys did when you could say about how you struggled, you weren't going to be close no matter who played. And I think that's the point with Kyle Anderson that we kind of have to look at here. Those are comments, obviously, guys, coming from a 37 player on a 37-win team that didn't play all that much, that just got swept. I kind of think that's the dictionary definition of speaking out of school.
Ooh. Wow. Ooh. Wow. Brian Geltzeiler, this is coming in hot.
All right. Turn up the heat.
Pascal Siakam, such an interesting matchup. He has 75 playoff games. He's got more experience than just about anybody on the Cavs in terms of the playoffs. And he's had some big moments on big teams. He's also had a bunch of moments where he has been very challenged trying to score efficiently. What do you make of that matchup with him, and how much do you think he'll be matched up with Evan Mobley?
A lot. And I think that matchup, here's the thing. I'm making an assumption in that matchup in this series that the Cavs are going to win that matchup. Evan Mobley was voted Defensive Player of the Year. Because if the Cavs don't win that matchup, Evan Mobley shouldn't have been voted Defensive Player of the Year. You can take Siakam out of his game. Evan Mobley's more athletic than he is. He's a little bit bigger. He can certainly stay with him both inside and outside. If Siakam's putting up 28, 26, and 30, That's a problem for Cleveland in this series because other guys are going to get points. I just got done telling you that the Hyder guy is going to be on Nembhard. And Nembhard's going to have a good series because of that. Whether it's Garland or Jerome, the Hyder defender, the one they're trying to hide, is going to be on Nembhard, which means that you're going to have to do a really good job on Siakam. You're going to have to do a really good job on Halliburton. You're going to have to make sure that Turner doesn't kill you too much. Like this, and even a guy like Nesmith, you got to make sure you match up properly. He had 19, you know, in this last game. He's a tough player. So my point being on the Siakam-Mobley matchup, if that doesn't work to the Cavs' favor, this series is a difficult, really going to be really, really difficult for the Cavs, and they may not win it. And that's how vital that matchup is. But to me here, listen, Evan Mobley was on most improved player ballots. He was a defensive player of the year. We're going to get all defense teams coming out in the next week or so. He's going to be on the first team for that. Evan Mobley's been given all these defensive accolades. This is the time where you show who you are. And if Mobley doesn't do that in this series, he probably shouldn't have gotten any award, and the Cavs are going to have a problem.
Brian Geltzeiler laying it down right now. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Go ahead. I got other NBA things I want to ask
about. So LeBron.
I wanted to ask about LeBron.
I'll do that. I'll do this instead. Eastern Conference, it looked to me like Boston never Orlando was a real threat in that series. However, it was a little harder for the Celtics than I thought it would be. Do you make anything of that?
Not really. You know, listen, they rested Drew Holiday. They actually rested. He was hurt, but he probably could have gone in two of those games, and they chose to not put him out there when they were up in the series with the thought that they just, if they could close this thing out and get him extended rest, they'd be better. Listen, Orlando's a really good defensive basketball team, but collectively, taking Paolo Banchero out of the mix, the rest of those guys in that team, you have them throw a bag of garbage off a pier and they can't hit the water. These guys cannot shoot the basketball. So, yes, it was a little bit of a grinded out series because Orlando plays physically tough in that way. That's part of their identity, but they're not a good offensive team. And so I think when you look at Boston there, I don't think it was a big deal. They didn't have Holiday the whole series, right? And Tatum sat a game that you won that he was hurt with a bad wrist. I look at that for Boston getting out in five. I think that's a win for them. Plenty of rest here. Listen, everybody needs the rest there. The more rest Porzingis gets, the better. The more rest Holiday gets, the better. The more rest Tatum's wrist gets. And Tatum was super when he came back. But more rest Tatum's wrist gets, the better. So I actually think, yes, it was going to be physical against Orlando no matter what. That's what they bring and who they are. With all that said, I actually like what I saw out of the Celtics in that series. They did a good job of taking care of business, considering they weren't fully healthy for a large portion of the series.
Brian Geltzeiler joining us on the show. So do these last years, I mean, the bounce in the first round last night to the Minnesota Timberwolves, do these last years with the Lakers mean anything to LeBron's legacy?
Yeah, I think they actually enhance his legacy. You just like, and it's a very funny example. Watching a game the other night, and they put some kind of record on the screen, you know, first guy to put up this, this, and this over the age of 40. And my wife looked at me and goes, isn't this kind of a silly graphic? Who else was ever doing this at 40? Like, and I think that's where we look at the legacy. We like to be about, you know, rings, right? How many rings? LeBron James I voted him as a second team All-NBA guy. The dude is 40. No one does this at 40. So I'll say this. He's enhancing his legacy with playing at an All-NBA level into his 40th birthday. That the longevity part now becomes a huge part of that. None of the other all-time greats we discuss have that longevity part. And no, I'm not going to do this LeBron Jordan thing. I'm a Michael Jordan guy, always will be. And that's not where I'm going. But I am saying, to think that a first-round exit for the Lakers does any damage to LeBron James, I just don't find that valid. I don't think that's an opinion I would ever agree with. I think that his legacy has been enhanced by what he does. I will say this, the bigger picture regarding the Lakers. If I'm LeBron James, I'm having a one-on-one sit-down with Luka Doncic this week, like now, before everybody breaks apart, and I'm going to look him in the eye, and I'm going to tell him, you get one more year with me, but if you don't show up, forget about the best shape of your career. I'm talking about the best shape of any NBA player ever, because I'm going to be in that shape if I'm LeBron. I'm showing up in peak condition. You need to be in the shape I'm in, and if you're in the shape I'm in, and we go do this, I'll hang around for a few more years with you. If you're going to show up in this kind of condition, and like you were when you got traded here, and like you've been this entire season, I'm done after after this year. LeBron doesn't have a lot of years left. Okay, there's some urgency for Luka Doncic to get himself in the proper condition and be able to realize his vast potential. And that was a problem for the Lakers in this series, specifically defensively. Luka was tired. He was out of shape. He was banged up because he was out of shape. And defensively in these last two games, the Timberwolves made him look stupid. They took gross advantage of him. So if I'm LeBron James, I have to tell you, that is my big mandate here with Luka. You get yourself in shape, or I don't know how much longer I'm doing this with you.
Brian, you're outstanding. Thank you so much for the time. And I say this to a lot of people. I really hope it with you. I hope we run you down again soon. Thank you.
Guys, my pleasure. Anytime. We'll talk to you both soon. Take care.
Find him on Twitter, at BGeltsNBA on Twitter. He's one of the best. Strong stuff. The stuff he said about Kyle Anderson, holy potatoes.